From WGCU, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. The fate of the River of Grass Greenway was on the table this morning at a meeting of the Collier County Metropolitan Planning Organization. It's a plan to build a bike path and walkway alongside Old U.S. 41 to cross the state. Opponents say it's too expensive and will upset the environment, while proponents argue it would bring people closer to nature and drive more ecotourism. We'll hear from both sides. Plus, the Urban Land Institute has released its recommendations for Collier County to address its lack of affordable housing. If you earn an average wage in Collier, you can only afford to live in about 15% of the homes that are there right now. We'll find out what the county needs to do to correct that and talk with a local nonprofit about how high rents impact the entire community. But first, the news. From WGCU, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. The fate of the River of Grass Greenway was on the table this morning, and who can afford to live in Naples? Not many of the people who work there, according to a recent report. Later in the show, we will learn about recent recommendations submitted to the county by the Urban Land Institute. But first, the proposed River of Grass Greenway is a bike trail that, if completed, would link Naples with Miami through a trail running alongside Old 41. It's a multi-million dollar project requiring cooperation between state, tribal, federal, and county groups. One agency in particular took up the issue today. The Collier County Metropolitan Planning Organization, or MPO, is deciding whether or not to continue its support for the project, which it first gave provisionally back in 2008. Joining us today to give us an overview of the project is Dana Fendrick. She's with the Collier MPO's Pathways Advisory Committee and a proponent of the Greenway. The meeting is still going on, but Penny Taylor with the Collier County Board of Commissioners will be able to join us in a little bit on the phone. And we're also joined in the studio by Don Scott, who's with the Lee County MPO, who has been working with Collier County as they look into this controversial project. Do you have a question or comment on the River of Grass Greenway, the proposed bike trail that would connect Naples to Miami along Old 41? You can share your thoughts at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Visit WGCUnews.org for more ways to get in touch. Dana, the meeting's in a break right now, but I understand that they've already taken a vote on whether to support the Greenway project. Can you tell me how that vote went?
Did not go in our favor. for those of us who were proponents of the River Grass Greenway, the MPO board did vote to rescind support for the project, and so we didn't come out on the winning side this time.
Well, I'm sure that you and other supporters of the Greenway offered your reasons for why you think that the Greenway is a good idea. Obviously, the vote shows that enough people disagreed. Are you still convinced that the Greenway is a good idea?
I am. I think the reasons for the vote really boiled down to kind of a separate issue. We did really even spend much time discussing the benefits or the aspects of the project itself. It kind of became more of an issue, and that in the development of the plan, that apparently the Miccosukee tribe as a sovereign nation should have been consulted with on a equal, a peer-to-peer basis, on a government-to-government basis. And that apparently did not happen, and so the tribe had a lot of opposed the project, and so it was kind of a structural communication reason for rescinding support, that they felt that the proper communication channels or protocols had not been followed with respect to dealing with the tribe.
Okay, so you're saying that when you were going through the planning phases, the Miccosukee tribe had not been contacted or had not been briefed on what the plans were?
They were, but I guess not at the proper levels. We did have a steering committee which had representatives from all the different agencies and the parks And we did have a representative from the tribe who was a part of the steering committee, but it didn't rise to the level of a consultation. So, and I'm not an expert on this topic. I'm learning as we go along here. But apparently, the participation on the steering committee and communications with, which was basically a citizen-driven planning effort, it's not proper to have a private citizen contacting the tribal leaders. So that was really the main issue that became the drive to rescind or not adopt the plan.
It sounds like it's a kind of a different bureaucracy and infrastructure and a different way of doing things that just apparently was a cultural miscommunication. We got some commentary from Betty Osceola. She's a spokesperson for the Miccosukee tribe, and she says that the tribe was against the Greenway from the beginning, she said. Here's what she told WGC reporter Jessica Mazaros about the Greenway.
This issue is important because if you've ever been down the Florida Everglades, and you know the Tamiami Trail is a corridor. It's a very sacred area to the Miccosukee and Seminole peoples because it's our traditional territorial lands. We still use the area for traditional use access and for cultural and religious purposes. And also, too, people don't understand when you create a greenway, especially this one, looking at the plans. You're not allowed to park on a greenway, and the only access for, let's say not just indigenous people, hunters or even fishermen. This time of year, a lot of people stop to fish, bird watch, take a photograph, and they park right outside the highway, the Tamiami Trail. They would, if ROGG is built, they would no longer be able to do that. It has a cumulative impacts overall, not just impacting the indigenous people, but even other tourists and visitors to Florida. They won't be able to enjoy that area like they currently can do now.
Dana, real quick, how do you respond to that kind of a comment?
Well, I think the plan was, it was a conceptual vision document, not a full design plan. So I think that question would have been answered more if we had gone forward with more detailed design in the PDAD study, and that there could have been room designed in to leave enough grass space to pull off 41 for the hunters and fishermen and not be parking on the greenway. So I think that's something that could have been resolved through design that if we had moved forward.
And that communication would have been critical with that. Right. And Penny Taylor with the Collier County, the Collier MPO gave its support to the project back in 2008. Penny, what changed since then?
Well, I think what happened was it was initiated by the Board of County Commissioners, and then it was approved by the MPO, and then it was, went through various and sundry channels, and then there, I think Parks and Parkways, State County Parks and Parkways got involved. In fact, the funding came from the National Parks and Trails. What happened in the meantime after 2008 is the bottom fell out of the economy. So when I looked at it and researched it, it's been, a thing that I needed to understand why, what happened here. And I think it sort of took on a life of its own. But clearly, there are two processes that weren't followed. The first process was this was never an MPO project. And yet the MPO are approving maps where a project is initiated by the National Park Service. And so that was faulty. It's, with the National Park Service, they look at parks and they look at green and they think about very, very different things than the MPO. The MPO, for want of a better analogy, it's kind of like sending Betty Crocker to do an engineering study. It doesn't work. And the parks are, warm and fuzzy. This looks great. We could do this and people could do that. The MPO and FDOT on the record today said this is not an FDOT project. I mean, they pretty much cleared that air right then and there. What they look at is the cost and the impact to not only the budget, but the environment, and that was not done. When you think about a trail going east to west or west to east, you're hard pressed not to look at I-75. I mean, there's wide right of ways. It's a road that would be much, much safer than the Tamiami Trail. But most importantly, there was never a government-to-government consultation from the Miccosukee. Now, I did go down there this Monday past, so it would just be this week on Monday. It was the first government-to-government consultation they ever had on the Tamiami Trail. I was asked to come down and speak to their chairman, and I did that. And he made it very clear that they did not support it. It is the first time in the nine years of this project that this ever happened. That's astonishing. And going forward, I think there has to be a recognition of indigenous people, but most importantly, Native American tribe, an Indian tribe that is recognized by the federal government as a sovereign nation. And that respect and that communication needs to be established. And I can say with a smile that our executive director is developing that procedure within our bylaws of MPO, because we've been sadly lacking.
Well, it seems to have brought to light at least that level of cooperation that needs to happen. And I wanted to turn now to Don Scott. You're with the Lee County MPO. And our listeners may be confused as to why somebody from Lee County is a guest on our show today, but the River of Grass Greenway is a massive project involving input from multiple tribal, state, and county groups, and your organization has been part of this conversation. One major issue for the Greenway was the cost. Can you tell us about the range of costs for this project?
Well, and obviously they're not defined every foot of it, for instance, but it was ranging from $100 to $140 million, and then that didn't include some of the bridges that might or might not include facilities too. So it was very expensive.
Mm-hmm. And Dana Fendrick on the phone. how old is this project? It's been being worked on for 9+ years.
Yes, well, it kind of got started in 2008, and then work on the feasibility study and master plan started in, I believe, 2012. So the plan, the report has been underway for 4 years.
And so who all has been involved in the project?
As I mentioned, there was a steering committee that there are representatives from all of the parks along the trail. All of the agencies that manage the parks, there were representatives from the Florida Department of Transportation in District 1 and 6. And we did have, the former executive director of the MPO, Phil Collier, did attend several of the steering committee meetings. So, this is something that Collier has been aware of and at the MPO level for some time. The plan is not produced under their, supervision, but the River Grass project has regularly updated the county and the MPO, and the former executive director was involved with many of the steering committee meetings, and there was extensive public outreach that was done with 3-week-long workshops. One in Miami, one in Everglades City, and one in Naples. So this wasn't something that was developed on the fly. We were trying to keep everybody informed, and it was administered through the National Park Service. So I don't know why we didn't have the government-to-government contact at that level. It seems like maybe that's where it should have happened.
Is it a surprise to you that the MPO voted against this? I mean, had you gotten pushback before this meeting today?
Well, we've had some. We're aware of opposition, and there had been opposition at the earlier joint MPO meeting between Lee and Collier County back in October. So we're aware that there was opposition and that there was a serious pressure to rescind support.
And yet you...
I think it's important to note also that, and I do respect the fact that the proponents of the Greenway did bring different entities together on a steering committee, but I did the research, and at no point did the MPO authorize our executive director to sit on a steering committee. So I would say that the process was flawed, despite the better intent of the proponents for it. And I think if we got into the cost of it, I think you can figure it's about plus or minus in today's numbers about $2 a mile or $2 million a mile. And for a recreational bike path, I think we could spend the money in a much better and more effective place within the urban center to promote safety and to promote the bike path concept within the urban center, not across the sacred lands of the Miccosukee.
So, Penny Taylor, with Collier County, I want to ask you now, where do you see this project going at this point? Is Collier County just completely done with it, or are there ways that the county could still support it?
And it's off the map, so it's finished. And the money from the FDOT-funded PD&E study will be addressed at, I think, our next meeting, where we're going to be talking about what our priorities are that are already, you know, voted on. Nothing out of the sky. This is stuff that has gone through a process. As hard as it is for our listeners to understand, there is a process to follow. And that is a very important vetting process. And FDOT is adamant that that kind of process must be followed. And public comment must be taken and considered into consideration and respected, as just because laying roads and going through areas can be very controversial. So they really want to make sure there's a thorough vetting process. We have maybe $1 million plus or minus there that we can apply to Collier County issues, as long as it involves a state road. We do have state roads in going through Collier County, and so the MPO will be addressing this at our next meeting.
So the feasibility study that you cited, who paid for that and who authorized payment for that?
That was the Park Service, I believe, and it was with Park Service money and I think a Sabin fund, rail trail.
Go ahead. It was a Paul S. Sabin's Transit and Parks grant that funded the study.
So, Dana, I wanted to ask you, you've been working on this for 9 years, and Penny Taylor with Collier County is saying that she's done. What happens now with the project that you've been working on?
Well, I think we'll regroup, and I think we'll continue to, as the people who were behind it, we're going to continue to push for safety improvements in that stretch of 41, and particularly with the bridges, which are narrow and pose a hazard to fishermen and other people along the trail. There are a significant number of bicyclists that do use the trail in its present condition. And so we're just going to try to probably incrementally push for safety improvements, and you never know if we can take another run at it when the political winds change.
So your initial reason for getting involved in this is because you saw that people were already using this old 41 to ride their bikes along, and your vision at the outset was to create a more safe bike riding area there, and that's where the river of grass kind of came from, and then it blossomed from there.
Right, and it was meant to be a safe recreational corridor for all different kind of users, not just cyclists, but for hikers, for bird watchers, photographers, the fishermen. So, getting people on a separated path from the shoulder where, traffic's going by at 65. So that was the intent, was to try to create a multi-use recreational corridor that would be, a lot safer and more enjoyable for everyone.
just right along the side of the highway that's already there. Don right. Scott, with the Lee County MPO, as someone who's been involved with planning in Southwest Florida, you've been doing this for a long time. Is there something that could have been done differently with this project maybe that might have made it more attractive to Collier County?
Well, there's definitely some issues between what was being done on the East Coast versus the West Coast when you talk about some of the coordination stuff that's been mentioned. So I think there probably could have been some things done that way that would have helped the process. But you still would have been dealing with the issue of the impact, and that's tough to get over.
What kind of impact? You mean
just if you were building along there and the impact to the, you know, the environment and along the roadway there?
As far as impacting the environment and the people that live along the roadway.
Miccosukees, right.
And definitely that.
You know, there is the issue, too. I mean, there is a stretch of road that goes across the Everglades, and it has been attributed to the decline of the Everglades. And now what are we doing? The concept is to widen that road. It does not make sense.
You're talking about widening Old 41?
Yes.
Into this additional bike path?
At one point, it looks like it in the additional 16 feet. And that's, I mean, I don't understand why this is such a great idea. It was the folks that were promoting it, and I've read enough to understand, they just talked about how this would open up the Everglades to the public, and they would be more supportive. But as it was pointed out at the meeting, Shark Valley is there 800 miles. It was repeated twice of trails that folks can bike on and, you know, drive to and bike on that go through the Everglades, and Shark Valley is there. Of course, that's in Dade County, but it's not such a long drive. The idea that we have to expand the width of a road that is already known to have started decline of the Everglades when we're spending billions of dollars of federal money to try to restore the Everglades, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, Penny, would you agree that maybe state or county governments might have a responsibility to create something that's a little safer for people that are bicycling along Old 41?
I would have to see the, you know, again, I've heard this, but in my mind, there are choices you make. It is a choice to bike along there. It's on the shoulder of the road. It's not really a bike path. There is a bike path that goes from Collier County to where you turn off to go to Marco Island. There is a wide path that takes away from the road. After that, the road narrows and it's wetlands. If a biker chooses to take that path, they choose at their risk, in my opinion, because it is not, it's not like you're going from one job to another and there's hundreds of people. But more importantly, when we talk about how unsafe it is, and I've fished along the 41, so I know that you do not back up into traffic. I know that the cars pass very close. I know you have to keep an eye on it. And if there are so many accidents, I think we need to see statistics of number of accidents before we start going along and talking about, again, perhaps widening a road that is going through environmentally sensitive land and also a Native American lands and territories. It just doesn't make sense. If people want a path that goes from east to west, let's look at I-75. They do it in other places. I'm not saying they've done it here, but it's
not. Yeah, I think I-75 would be a very unappealing way to place to put a pathway. And not only is it not appealing, it's a limited access road. There's nowhere to get bicyclists or pedestrians onto the road, and on or off. I mean, it's limited access.
Yeah, and there is fencing all along there for the alligators, I guess.
I can't imagine it would be a real rewarding environmental experience to either have the pathway down the median or on the side where you're having to look through the chain link fence over at the wetlands on the other side. And if you go outside the fence, then all you're doing is transferring all of the same issues 20 miles north. You have environmental, you have the tribal, you have burial grounds, and it's the same set of issues just 20 miles north. And
I think
a very unappealing situation.
And other communities and I've read a little bit about it, but not too much. What they've done is they've actually had the bike path and the median in the middle. So, I mean,
I think I'd rather go get a root canal than have to spend time out in the median of I-75. And you're totally disconnected from any Everglades or nature by 70-mile-an-hour traffic on both sides.
But again, I think as we go forward, I mean, that's a personal decision. And what you want to do has to do with recreation, maybe not safety. And I think as we go forward, I think there's not a lot of money out there. You know, we really have to be very judicious with where we spend our money. And as the urban center's growing in Collier, and I think Lee would be the same, we need to make sure that we keep a sharp focus on our priorities.
And money is a big issue. Where was that money supposed to come from?
It could have come from a variety of funds that are specifically for regional trails. The best being right now the Sun Trail funds, which the state just approved like 2 or 3 years ago, but it's $25 million available annually, and it's specifically for regional trails. It's not for in-town small stuff. It's for to connect communities. And the first one that they've concentrated on is the Coast to Coast Connector, and to be eligible for the Sun Trail money, you have to be on the Office of Greenways and Trails map, and that's what this Rivergrass Greenway would have done, was to provide a connection between urban areas, from Naples to Miami, and now without that, Naples becomes a dead end, so we may not be eligible for much other regional trail funding that is, for their whole goal is connectivity.
And that fund would have completely been able to cover it?
That would have been one of the sources. There are a lot of different other types of trip funds and TAP funds, and there's just a variety of sources, and some of them from private grants, not necessarily governmental. So usually it takes, on a trail like this, doesn't get built all at once. It usually gets built in segments, and you might have a different funding source for each segment.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of build it a bit at a time.
And Don, Dana mentioned a couple of other bike trails. Are there any other trails that already exist that cross the state?
Well, that's what the number one priority for the Sun Trail, which is the shared use network, is what they're calling it. Is the Coast to Coast, which is north of Orlando from and it's probably 80 to 90%. They're trying to fill in the gaps and stuff. And so, that will be essentially a trail that goes all the way across.
Eventually.
Yep.
But that's up north near Orlando.
Right.
What are the big trails that go out into the – are there bike trails that go out into the Everglades at this point?
Well, in what's been – you talked like on 41 right now is more like bike lanes or paved shoulders. There's bike lanes, of course, on other roadways to the east and stuff. And then you have things that are being developed, like 82, for instance, will have a pathway on the south side when it gets widened out towards Collier County. So there are some other things coming. It's just it's going to be a while.
Yeah, 82 has its own issues with just cars at this point.
Right. And then so, when it gets widened, that will happen.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to thank you all for joining me today. First, Don Scott with Lee County MPO. Also, Penny Taylor with the Collier County Board of Commissioners for joining us and taking her break time away from that meeting to be on the phone with us. And also, I want to thank Dana Fendrick with the Friends of the River of Grass Greenway. Coming up, the percent of income that working people spend on rent or mortgages in Collier County is too high, according to a recent study. And the county has asked for advice on fixing that problem. Some of the solutions when we come back.